parking in the...
In the Wilmington Public Schools as a reading resource teacher. I was working at Mary C. I. Williams School, which is now torn down and is Adams 4 Shopping Center.
Ah.
And at the Laura School, which is now the Laurelton Apartments. They were mostly black schools. Mary C. I. Williams...
When you say mostly black, you mean most of the students?
Yes, and the teachers, and the staff, and the entire staff.
So this was, even though integration had occurred...
No, integration had not yet occurred.
Had not occurred.
Had not occurred. This was why there was integration, because the schools were all black practically. At Mary C. I. Williams, at that point, there were a few Puerto Rican children coming in. Those children were very difficult to teach, because at that point they were going back and forth to Puerto Rico every few months, and they were here, they were not here, they didn't speak English, and there were all kinds of problems with them. I don't know if that situation has improved. Laura was very similar, except that it had a few more white children, and a few more white teachers. But at Mary C. I. Williams, the other reading teacher and I were white and were not always well accepted, although generally speaking the staff was polite. We didn't have much trouble with the kids. But the staff was...
Felt some resentment?
Yeah, I was in a position of giving advice, and it was often ignored or not even allow me to come in the classroom, politely not allow me to come in. And this was a problem. What's my...
White teachers did the same.
No.
Wasn't a black-white.
No, it was a black-white issue. Excuse me.
Yeah, it was.
It was a black-white issue, most definitely.
And
there were a few...
What quality of teaching? What was the quality?
The quality of teaching was extremely mixed. There were some teachers who were just wonderful. They were just great, and under very difficult classroom management situations with difficult kids and small crowded classrooms and very mixed supplies. Sometimes we would have tons of books, but we'd run out of paper in April, that kind of thing. Very mixed, but some of the teachers were terrible. And the supervision from the principal was practically non-existent.
I was,
as a reading teacher, I always considered the first 3 hours of the day as prime time. That's the time you're going to get your teaching in with young children, or forget it. And I would walk into classrooms where at 9 o'clock in the morning, the teacher would say, "Children, put your head down and take a rest," and she would sit there and balance her checkbook. And so, you know, that's what, and there was nothing anybody could do anything about. There was one teacher who was sprawled out across the table, obviously drunk. And that was the only time I ever ratted on a teacher. And I went to the principal and I said, "Miss So-and-so," I can't even remember her name, "is in this condition and I think you ought to go up and take a look." And the teacher's excuse was that she was taking some medication and it had made her sleepy or something, but we all knew better because we had seen this before. But at any rate, and in that circumstance, that was at Laura, the principal was white and the teacher was black. So there were, you know, these issues were very much there.
Yeah. But once the integration occurred...
Once the integration occurred, I was out in the county.
So you never... But the county schools included the city schools.
That's right.
So you never saw this anymore. I mean,
improve? The resentment of the teachers was not shown. Whether it was there, I couldn't tell you. But it wasn't shown in the same way as it was in Mary C. I. Williams, which was an all-black school. And it was proud of its blackness. But the academic level at Mary C. I. Williams was such that there was a fourth, fifth grade combination taught by a very fine teacher, Alice Faulkner, And this was called the gifted and talented. They had creamed the top off the fourth and fifth grade and given it to Alice Faulkner to teach. And those kids were the only kids in the school who were on grade level. Nobody was above grade level.
Oh, my. Even
and that was the gifted and talented. But, you know, it was a combination of all kinds of things. Their background, the quality of the education, of all kinds of things. So I felt desegregation was very justified,
uh-huh.
that these kids were not getting the education mm-hmm. they should have. And once deseg started, the first year I was at Old Mill Lane School, they hadn't worked out the balance right. We had 60% black kids coming from the Clifton Park Apartments, which is now Paladin, I think. And it was a zoo. They were absolutely, I mean, they were wild. And it was, we had a couple of really nutty years until they fixed up the feeder pattern a little bit. And also that these kids we were starting with, we started to educate. Mm. So that by the time they got to third grade, something with them.
The problem had,
right. One of my memories is, we had to give them a standardized test in the spring, and I was given the job of taking the 10 lowest, I think they were first graders, and testing them. And I said to the principal, how can I test them? They can't read a word. He said, you do your best. We have to test them all. So my system was this. I had a bag of M&Ms, and I said, I'm going to read down this list of words, and I want you to mark something next to every one of these words, and if you do that, I will give you an M&M at the end of that column. And that's what I did. They couldn't read a word of it. And the kind of score they got, who knows? It didn't matter. I did my job.
Mm. How horrible.
It really was.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's improved enormously,
yeah.
And I stayed in what became the Brandywine District until 91 when I retired,
yeah.
And I saw those kids.
You saw
most of them coming up learning how
to read.
To read.
Yeah. So you must have been gratified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. When I talk to people who say, oh, you know, we shouldn't have had DSEG and all that, oh boy,
yeah.
Educationally, we sure should
yeah.
have.
Yeah, well, then it needs somebody who was there before
yeah.
to be able
yeah.
to point out.
Yeah. The Wilmington schools were really very poor.
Yeah.
They had lots of federal money coming into them. In terms of Chapter 1 and other programs, but they did not educate those kids.
Mm.
And there were a lot of reasons for it.
Of course. And so in 91 you retired.
91 I retired
yeah.
and spent a couple of years working for an outfit in New Jersey doing in-service training for teachers in New Jersey, which took a lot of driving. I liked doing it, but it was a lot of driving. And then I got a job at the Westchester University teaching courses for teachers in how to teach reading. And then when they laid me off that because they wanted to use only staff, then I got the same kind of job at the University of Delaware and taught there for 4 years as an adjunct teaching what was called methods of teaching reading and writing, and enjoyed that very much until
They too
decided that they needed regular staff to
right.
teach those courses, and so that's where I am.
Ah, well, so you've obviously made a great contribution to education and to teaching teachers and students.
My feeling is that I got paid one whole heck of a lot better than Alice got paid. My feeling was that her contributions to society were more important.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, but I think they're equally important.
I don't think you can measure.
Yeah.
Well, but anyway, you know,
yeah.
a new plastic, the world did not need that much as it needs kids who can read.
Yeah, well, I felt the same way. I was teaching.
Yeah.
Sonny made much more than I did.
Yeah.
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 And,
but
that's
contributions
our
are at least
society.
Comparable.
Yeah.
At least comparable.
Yeah. So, but meanwhile, and besides the Council of Jewish Women,
I was active with the, my interest has always been in the ethical side of life.
Yeah,
and
gardening. You didn't mention
gardening. Yes, gardening has always been there. But whatever I've done in any organization, it's been doing something to tikkun olam, to improve the world, really. And so I have never been a member of a prayer and ritual committee, right, because that doesn't interest me at all.
Right.
So it's always been.
Well, I feel as though Wilmington, Delaware has been greatly enriched by the presence of Ben and Alice upstairs.
Well, there's one final note I'd like to say, and that is about our kids. Something has rubbed off.
Because tell us what they're all doing.
Well, it's rubbed off partly going a ways back, because my parents were also very involved in the community and in doing things for the community. My father was the developer of the Personnel Placement Bureau in Norwalk, Connecticut, which got jobs for people over 55. And my mother had a volunteer project at the Norwalk Hospital in the pediatric ward doing play therapy. So, you know, my kids have heard about this, and I had a role to follow and all of that. And of course, we did what we did. David, our oldest, is a pediatrician in town with his wife, Joanne, and his daughter, Hannah. They live here. And David is involved in doing various things generally for the Jewish community. Stephen and his wife both work for Connecticut Legal Services in near New Haven. Different places. Anyway, Stephen is deputy director, am I right, of Connecticut Legal Services at this point. And Eric started out as a teacher and then went to get an MBA and wanted to work in nonprofits and is now working on the AIDS Ride organization, raising money for AIDS. So our kids are also very involved in the community. They have all remained Jewishly affiliated, some more than others, but they're all affiliated, and we've been very proud of them. They're very fine young men.
You know what they say, the acorn does not fall far from the tree. Good. It might be fake, but it's true.
Tell about David. He worked hard in medical school, and then he went as his residency at Sinai in New York, and he said when his first assignment was in the emergency room, and he said he walked over to some patient and said, "I'm Dr. Epstein. What can I do for you?"
Just to be able to say doctor.
You're right.
Not to say, "What can I do for you?"
Yeah,
and then
right.
It was all worthwhile.
Right. That's very, that's apocryphal.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So. So I think you should be proud.
We are.
And I'm proud that you're my friend.
We are proud that you are our friend.
We work the same side of this.
Yeah.